On this episode of Innovation Ambassadors, we're showcasing the journey of Sinclair, a diversified media company and leading provider of local news and sports. We'll explore their work with AWS prototyping to promote content authenticity, discover the opportunities and challenges addressing the rapidly emergent use of Gen AI in media and entertainment. From Sinclair, I'm pleased to welcome Mike Palmer, Vice President of Media Management. Mike, thanks so much for being here with us today.
Thanks for having me.
And from AWS, we have Damian Hess, Senior Partner Solutions Architect for Media and Entertainment. Damian, welcome.
Thank you very much. Hello.
And joining us again is Patrick O'Connor, prototyping engineer from our worldwide prototyping team. Patrick, always great to have you on.
Always a pleasure.
So, Mike, for our international audience, can you share a little bit about Sinclair?
Sure. Sinclair is a US-based broadcaster. We have about 200 distribution channels and 60 content centers in 60 different markets across the US. Then we also have the Tennis Channel, which is an international property as well.
Mike, can you describe some of the challenges that Sinclair and likely other media groups have with the proliferation of content and determining the authenticity of that content?
Sure. Like I said, we have 60 content production centers, otherwise known as stations, around the U.S. that all have large news production facilities. They're producing local news for their markets. One of the problems that we have is making sure that consumers understand that this content actually came from us. With the proliferation of deep fakes, we are concerned about the potential for somebody going out and creating a deep fake and then, you know, telling people or suggesting or representing that it came from our channel. So that's one of the concerns we have. A second concern we have is that we want to be able to use AI technology responsibly. And that means we need to declare the use of AI in our production processes and ultimately to the consumers that we serve. So something called the C2PA, the Coalition for Content Provenance and Authenticity, is an initiative and a protocol that allows us to tag content so that we can see basically where it comes from. The stated goal of the C2PA group is to do for media players what the lock icon has done for the web browser. So you go to a web page and it's secure. You get the lock icon. You click on the lock icon and you can see all the signed certificates or all the signing with certificates going back to the root certificate authority. And you know if that's broken, you don't get the lock icon. Right. So C2PA wants to do the same thing by signing content in the camera and then in all the production steps along the way, the edit process, the transcoded distribution process, and eventually the process for playing the media on a consumer device at the end. If all those things line up, you should get the trusted icon, the C2PA trusted icon in the media player. That's great. That helps us with brand protection, because an AI fake would not survive that and you would not get the lock icon. One of the other benefits that we have, though, internally is that if we are able to track that those signed manifests that tell us where this content came from, when we create derivative content, we mix content from one of our stations with a national feed or somebody else's content that we have rights to use, we can actually tell what part of that content is belongs to us and what part belongs to somebody else, and we can follow and track rights and those sorts of things. Presently, there's no technical means generally available to us in broadcast systems to track the provenance or the source of content whenever it comes into an edit and then whenever it goes out of it. By tracking this, it makes the content more valuable to us because from our archive later on, we can tell exactly what we own and exactly what we don't. And for the things that we don't, we can then look for rights clearance and other things on that. So two main applications of C2PA. One is brand protection, allowing the consumer to have faith in the content and knowing that it's not a deep fake and knowing where it came from. And then the second application is internal to us, and being able to track where content came from by following this provenance chain all the way back to the camera.
Fantastic. And Damian, maybe you can dive a little deeper for our audience into what that manifest looks like. What kind of information is in there, and how are other companies also making use of C2PA?
Yeah, actually, you've put your finger right on a key part of what the C2PA is. You are creating what's called a manifest that has information about that digital asset, whether it's a video or an image. And the manifest is really has three main structures to it. In one part, there are what are called assertions, right? These are statements of fact about that digital asset. So it can be things like, when was this created? What devices were used to create this digital asset? Who are the copyright holders? What's the description? So with these assertions, they take each of these assertions, these statements of facts, and they'll cryptographically hash that fact, that information. And all of these hashes go into what's called a claim. And what happens then is if someone tries, a malicious party tries to change those assertion values, it's not going to match the hash anymore. So you'll know that it's been tampered with. And then to make sure that no one tries to go in and change those hash values, that claim is going to be signed with a digital certificate. And so that signature basically seals the manifest so that you know and can have confidence that nothing has been tampered with, that any changes will be tamper evident.
So important, right? So back to Mike, that twofold vision you have and objectives you had. How did you come to work with Patrick and the prototyping team?
Well, actually, we were having some meetings with AWS, and we were talking about, you know, what our challenges were and what we wanted to accomplish in the next year. And one of those things is where we are looking for the next generation of production systems for our content centers. What is going to be used for ingest of content from the field? What is going to be used for editing in the field and at the content center? And these sorts of things. And we mentioned that one of the requirements was that all of these things support C2PA. Because if you don't have everything in the production chain supporting C2PA, there's a break and you're not able to do it. So everything has to, all of your components of production have to support and distribution have to support this. And one of our challenges was demonstrating to these vendors, the NLE vendors, the production asset management vendors, the transcode vendors, was to demonstrate to them how C2PA works and demonstrate to them that it is not that difficult to implement because the libraries are already out there and it can be implemented at scale. Another purpose was actually to provide them test artifacts that they could begin using to test C2PA in their own system. And so when we mentioned this to AWS, they said, hey, we've heard about this. If you need help doing this, it sounds like a good POC engagement for us. And that's how we got started.
And so, Patrick, over to you. You want to demonstrate the feasibility of connecting to these open source APIs as well as providing that ability to test it. So talk us through a little bit of the architecture that you came up with.
Yeah. So as Mike was referring to, C2PA is this, we're sort of on the edge of this new technology. It's growing very rapidly, and I feel that in a few years, we're going to see a lot more usage around these technologies. But right now, where the technology sits is very much on the open source community. So a lot of the tooling out there is available as plug and play, is available as open source, and is being continually contributed to by the open source community. Now, the approach that we took on this prototype really started on the kiosk of the prototype. And that kiosk of the prototype was the need to be able to easily integrate customer systems into the C2PA process and generate this asset known as a sidecar. So think about it as what Damian was saying, having all of this C2PA data come back to you in a file that you can then use downstream. So the way we designed this technology was we took the approach of building it on top of two key services on AWS that offer two different perspectives on compute on AWS. The first being AWS Lambda, your function in the cloud where you can get all of the benefits of using a serverless compute system exposed by a new feature called AWS Lambda Function URLs. And then the second is AWS Fargate. So your container system that scales on AWS, once again, is serverless, but this time it's a bit more containerized than a Lambda system, this being exposed by an application load balancer. And then taking those open source frameworks, putting them onto these compute systems to be able to generate these assets via an API interface, or rather an API.
And Damien, you work with multiple media and entertainment companies. Is this something that this approach is something that is generally applicable?
Yeah, I think it is. We've been hearing from a lot of our media customers or publishing customers that they are very interested in using the C2PA. Of course, the new is always a little frightening. No one knows how to exactly get it to work within their specific workloads, their workflows. And a lot of these publishers don't have the engineering resources, right, to take these open source tools and write their own code and then deploy it. So definitely having an easy way for people to trial and experiment with using C2PA is really important so that people get comfortable with the technology and understand how to integrate it into their workflow. And that's why the POC is so important, right? Because that creates an easy way for people to start experimenting with it.
Right. And Mike, that was an important element of what you wanted to achieve. Is that right?
It really was and continues to be an important element and objective for us. We wanted to use the POC to demonstrate to internal and external shareholders how this worked and what we wanted them to use C2PA to accomplish. Now, I'll take a step back here. C2PA gives you two options for handling the manifest, the signed metadata. One is to put this in a sidecar, and we chose that route for the POC because it's separate. You can see it. You can actually see what's happening. You can read. The other method is really the more practical, and that is to put it into the media wrapper. So you only file right through the production process.
Right.
We chose the sidecar method because it was easier to explain to people, and it was easier to talk to developers about this and say, this is what you want to do, but we're showing you the sidecar. You're just going to use the other option in final implementation and put it within the wrapper. And we accomplished the goal of creating a tool that was very effective in communicating what we wanted to accomplish and, in fact, how it can be accomplished.
That focus on getting that incremental, making incremental progress, Patrick, is absolutely part and parcel to the work that you do in prototyping, isn't it?
It is. The way we designed this prototype is really very much for myself coming on as an engineer, is the C2PA realm is a new technology. And actually referring back to the technical structure is a lot of the technology around C2PA is still experimental. And Mike hit the nail on the head saying that there's two offerings. One, having that asset embedded into the asset so that you have one file, but then having that sidecar.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I wanted to hone in on that sidecar a bit more because when we actually use these open source frameworks, one of the core drivers for designing this prototype and contributing back to the community is making it open source.
Right.
Now, to go directly to it, is we try to use the Python SDK offered by the C2PA community. The issue we had with this open source framework or with this tool is that the Python SDK doesn't currently support the generation of a sidecar. So what we had to do to progress the prototype was we actually leveraged the CLI built on top of the Rust original open source framework.
Command line interface, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, to be able to design or progress or offer this feature within the Python SDK and potentially contribute back to the community.
That's great. You know, we often talk in this podcast about experimentation and failure sort of going hand in hand, or having to overcome challenges while you're doing, especially working with new technology, and being comfortable with maybe sometimes meeting those blockers along the way. So it sounds like this was something indeed that you had to overcome. Is that right?
Very much, very much. I would say prototypes take on a very interesting space because you're often rediscovering new technologies along the way. And I would say this prototype fit the bill. It was the first time I'd been exposed to C2PA. And it gives you kind of a perspective of where we're going, particularly with the onslaught of generative AI that's been taking over for the last year or so.
Mm-hmm.
A tool like C2PA getting on very early on that early adopter curve just gives you another lens to generative AI. Yes, the hype is there, but you know, a technology like that, knowing it today, will have benefits for you as a developer, business folk coming into the future, where I really think this technology is going to become more prevalent and more widespread.
Yeah, absolutely. And Mike, that really comes back to that responsible use of generative AI that you talked about in the beginning. Yeah.
Correct. And C2PA, I think the first use case is focused on essentially being able to flag content that could be produced by generative AI because it's lacking the authenticity, symbol and assign certificates all the way down. But it also allows you to declare when you've used AI. And it turns out Sinclair's first use of this is actually to declare where we used AI. Mm-hmm. We have a project with the Tennis Channel where we're using a service to do automatic translation and revoicing in a second language and then lip syncing. It's really cool technology, but it makes somebody who doesn't speak Spanish look like they are a native Spanish speaker. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, people are watching a program and they're familiar with the tennis star who's hosting this, and they see the tennis star speaking Spanish. They will know something's going on.
Right. Unless they learned it overnight, right?
Exactly. So mm-hmm. we need to declare this, and mm-hmm. We have. And that we've used C2PA to do that on certain distribution channels. And what it does is it opens up another market for us. We've used that technology to enhance our offerings in Spain. But we wanted to make sure that we did it right. And we tell people we're not trying to put anything over on you. We are using AI to do this. And they seem to, the public seems to have accepted that. Rather than reading, you know, closed captions along the bottom, they seem to accept that, you know, AI going in and doing the lip sync and the revoicing it makes the content much more consumable for them. Mm. Many times, great shifts in technology or significant shifts in technology bring additional benefits. Okay. And C2PA's stated goal is to track provenance and authenticity. And it provides at the core a way of taking metadata and one, moving it through all the production processes because that path hasn't existed in the past. And then signing it so that we know that it hasn't been changed. But that underlying ability to transport metadata across all of our production and distribution processes in the commercial video production and broadcast space has not existed before. Now you think that would be a logical thing to do. You have cameras that are generating GPS locations and coordinates and all these other things out there. We can attach editorial metadata in the field telling us what type of story it was and that sort of thing. But until now, it comes into the nonlinear editor and it stops. Mm-hmm. It's not carried forward. And this C2PA now provides the tracks on which any metadata, not just provenance metadata, but any metadata can go from camera to editing to transform to distribution and potentially all the way to the consumer. And that might actually be ultimately the largest impact C2PA has. And it's the secondary one.
Yeah, I'd like to double click on two of the points that you know, Microsoft already raising. And, you know, the first one is trust and transparency is so important that media companies, publishers, they need to maintain that sense of, you know, being authentic, of being trustworthy. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, the public is going to not believe what they're seeing, what they're finding online. And that's really important. We're finding, you know, media companies can use generative AI, for example, as long as they disclose that they're using it. And so people right. can understand. And that's exactly what Mike is getting to. Like, how did this person suddenly start speaking Spanish, right? Just be forthcoming about it and have a way of being able to share that information. And then the second point he's raising about metadata is, I agree 100%, right? It's not just for your provenance information. It really can hold any sort of metadata in a way that keeps it associated with the asset and shows that it's authentic, that it's been signed, so you know it hasn't been tampered with. And that's many different use cases are going to come up as people start experimenting with this. And that's going to be what's so interesting in the future with C2PA. They've already published use cases saying, well, maybe this could be used for legal purposes. If you're going to introduce video assets or sound into court, this gives you a way of being able to track how it's been changed over time and where it originated. Mm. There are other laws that are coming up that may require tracking information. But it also raises the point that a lot of the challenges with using C2PA aren't going to be strictly technical. They're going to be about how do we manage our data? What information is needed at different points in the production process or the distribution process or by our end users? And so that's going to be a lot of decision-making about what metadata do we need? How do we track it? Where's it going to come from? How are we going to manage that correctly? So all of this is going to be, you know, decided over the next year or more as people start getting comfortable with the technology. And that's why it's important to get these kinds of prototypes out so people can start experimenting with them.
Mm-hmm. And demonstrate the feasibility and hopefully how easy it was, right, Patrick, at the end of the day. Where are we now, Mike, and Patrick and the team have created the prototype? Where are we now in terms of incorporating that into your production process?
So the goal was to create a prototype service that we could include in our workflow engines. Those workflow engines are capable of calling REST interfaces, and we've done that. We've demonstrated that works. Because this was created not just to create samples and sample artifacts for later testing and demonstrate that it's easy to use, it was really created also to help us reach the tipping point for C2PA, because we're right on the edge of really some large adoption, and show the vendors in our vendor ecosystem that this is practical and it works. So we did that to one of our large vendors of transcode services. And we said, we want something like this in the product. Can you implement this test API that we've created through this POC? And they looked at it and they said, okay. And then they went away for a few weeks. And then they came back just before the recent National Association of Broadcasters Convention, which is a big kind of milestone for everybody each year. Right. Demonstrate new products. And they came back and they showed us C2PA working natively through their own development efforts inside of the product. Now, Patrick creates great code, and I was a little disappointed to see that they weren't using his stuff. Okay. But at the end of the day, our goal with this was to show people as possible and get them to embrace it and carry it forward. And absolutely, within just a few weeks of producing the prototype, we had accomplished that goal.
Right, that inspiration and reference implementation that then serves as the basis for folks to either pick that up or create their own native implementation, as you mentioned. So fantastic. Well, Mike, Damian, and Patrick, thank you so much for being here and sharing a little bit about this new exciting technology. And I wonder if as we sign off, you had some reflections to share from this experience. I'll start with you, Patrick.
The reflection point for me is once in a while, you get the opportunity to not just build on AWS with new features and then new products coming out. But every now and then you get a prototype that's truly out there in the open source community. New, first of its class. And this was that prototype. When C2PA came in, I remember for the first few days, I was continually back and forth with Damien about how does this work and how does this fit and the importance of provenance within the system of media content. So my reflection point is, you know, it reminds me that technology moves extremely fast. Mm-hmm. You might think you know everything out there, and then you look around the corner and there's something new. And C2PA is exactly that. Looked into it. And now I'm getting excited by it. I'm subscribing to newsletters about media, whereas before, as an engineer, I was looking into more generative AI content. I've now incorporated this and learned a whole new world of media, which this prototype has granted me.
Fantastic. Damien, how about you?
I would say the importance of education right now, right? And with the POC, we're educating or giving the opportunity for media companies to learn about how they can use the C2PA, and that's so important. But as Mike was actually even getting to, you know, with that lock icon that you see in your web browser when you're doing like online shopping, now everyone in the public knows to look for that. We're at the same stage right now, I think, with the C2PA. We need to educate the public to make them realize, oh, this has no what are called content credentials saying that it has C2PA metadata attached to it. I should probably not trust or be a little more suspicious of looking at this video or this image. Mm. People aren't there yet. They don't realize that that's right. necessary. And so there's going to be this cyclical sort of process where media companies like Sinclair, who are at the forefront, start to introduce this. More tools evolve to support it. The public starts to recognize, oh, I see this icon that says it's been verified or authenticated. So now I start looking for that more, and that'll drive more adoption by media companies and the development of more tools to make it easier for people to track the source, the origin of these assets. So I think we're importance of education now. Let's just everyone get out there and spread the word about C2PA and educate broadcasters, technologists, and the public.
Mike, final words for you.
Sure. Two thoughts. One is I do think we'll look back on this year and the work with C2PA generally within the media vendor community and say this was an inflection point. And we don't get too many of those. And I think this is likely one of those years, and this is likely one of those technologies. So it's really good to be involved with efforts right now. The second one, to bring it back down to a lower level, this was the first POC we had engaged in with AWS. We do lots of POCs with different companies. And this was a very easy and quick process for us. We created a very narrow scope for the POC. We set a fairly aggressive time schedule for it of only 2 weeks. Mm. Okay. And we were satisfied, very satisfied at the end of it. Patrick was able to move at an incredible speed through the POC goals and even deliver a stretch goal for us. The takeaway for us is that POCs with AWS can work well. It doesn't take a lot of resources from our side if we do the work up front to create a narrow spec for that. And then we get something valuable at the end for both of us. So thank you.
Well, wonderful to hear. Mike, Damien, and Patrick, thank you again